because we get our four candles out on representing love, hope, joy and peace over these next few weeks over Advent. But it kind of links, because I want to just, how I got to the message that I give, I let you into my world a little bit again. And so I'm preaching these first two Sundays in Advent. And I said to God, I kind of would kind of like, God, if I could, can I have a two-parter? So I have a chat with God and said, I'm preaching next two Sundays, Advent. It'd be good to have a two-parter, then I know where I'm going, then I've got a little, and then I can work towards the Christmas services a little bit. So I started to look at the two Gospels that are often used to tell the story of the first Christmas. And we often, that's Luke and Matthew. And I'm sure that as we get closer to Christmas, we'll hear many readings from both of those Gospels over the next few weeks. Then I started to look at the two other Gospels, Mark and John, that start actually a little bit differently. They start more around the adult life of John the Baptist. And I was drawn particularly as I sat and as I was trying to have a chat with God, what we're preaching on next couple of weeks, God. I felt drawn to John 1, verses 1 to 42. See, in these verses, there are two Johns, right? There's John the Apostle, the Gospel writer, who's writing the Gospel. But he starts also to tell us, he starts to tell us who Jesus is. But he also accounts what John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, says about Jesus. So in my little mind, as I'm sat with God on Monday morning thinking about what we're going to preach on this week and hopefully next week, that's where I get to. Two Rons and two Johns. The two Ronnies doing four candles and two Johns in John chapter 1, the gospel writer and the cousin of Jesus. And I think God says, go with that. He knows how I work, you see. That might not be how normal preachers do it. I don't know how Lee prepares his sermons. But that's God with me. And that's how it works in my little mind on a Monday morning when I'm having a chat with God. And it's not really my usual way of sharing a message. But today and next Sunday, I kind of want to walk through these verses, chapter 1, verses 1 to 42. And I still hope that they work as two, the first two Advent Sundays, really, in some ways. Now, I have to say that, I don't know about you, but do you, on your phone, you know, like when you have somebody that you know, but you don't know their second name, or you know them from something, do you like putting brackets something around their name? So you might have, like, you know, Janet the hairdresser, and then you have hairdresser, or you have, like, you know, do you have that? I have that in my phone. In lots of you, actually, I don't say what some of the things I've got down, but because it's like lots of, you know, so when they, because when you first know them, you don't always know their second name, so you put them in a kind of how you know them sort of bracket. Does that happen for you? Yeah, you know what I'm saying on your phone. Well, because I'm talking about John 1 verses chapter 1 to 42, and in this there's John the Gospel writer and there's John the Baptist. So we're going to think about that in two ways. So when I say Gospel John, or I'll say Baptist John, depending on what I'm talking about, right? So you've got Gospel John, and you've got Baptist John in these readings today. So let's start. Anthony, if we could put it on. I'm going to read to you firstly the first three verses, and we start with Gospel John, who writes these verses. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. You can leave it up, but we'll go on to some more verses in a minute. Gospel John starts with these verses. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, who was the Word? It's Jesus, right? In the beginning is the Word. The Word, who John is talking about here, Gospel John, he's talking about Jesus. Gospel John is reminding us that Jesus did not just appear in the first Christmas story, all right? Through him, he says, all things are made. In Genesis 1, we read, in the beginning was God. We also read that the Spirit is hovering over the waters. But here, in Gospel John, we read that the word Jesus was active in creation. Through him, all things were made. Jesus has always been. That's what he's telling us. Jesus has been, he was in creation. We can find Jesus as we travel through the Old Testament. A few weeks ago, I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I said, though in the fiery furnace, there was a fourth person in the fiery furnace. And who do scholars believe that fourth person was? It was Jesus. And also, we see Jesus in over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. Jesus did not just appear at Christmas. This also teaches us about the Christian belief that we have a Trinitarian Godhead. We have a God three in one. Christians believe we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three but yet one. Now let me also include Baptist John in this. Because in verse 15, don't worry about getting to it, it says this, John testifies concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. So Gospel John is writing some words of Baptist John. And Baptist John is talking about Jesus. And he says that he surpassed me because he was before me. But hang on a minute. Baptist John is 6 months older than Jesus in earthly years. In earthly born years. But Baptist John is also under the revelation that Jesus has always, always been. From creation through time, he has always been and he will be forevermore. Everlasting, eternal. Amen. So we start to walk through these verses in 1 John, John 1, verses 1 onwards. Verses 4 and 5 say this. It's again, Gospel John is writing to us, and he says this. In him, meaning the word, meaning Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Gospel John is telling us that Jesus is the light of the world. And it's one of our main themes of Advent. As we travel through Advent, we'll be thinking about Jesus being the light of the world. We'll think about these four candles as well that represent hope and peace and joy and love. It's the themes of this Advent season. Like I say, we'll light these four candles each Sunday to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world and these other truths. And like I said earlier, with our Christmas card bingo sheet, I'd like to think this Christmas, this Advent, as you go through Advent, when you see lights, perhaps on the Christmas card, or perhaps those that have been especially put on and switched on in our shopping areas, or perhaps you'll see the lights on the Christmas trees, or for those who will be starting today, lighting their Advent candle. Many of you bought one of those, and today's the day to light it. And today's the big light day, because not only do you get the little bit, you've got to do the first bit. So it takes about 20 minutes just to get down to the front today. So just a pre-warning for those that have bought an Advent candle, start early today, because you've got a lot to go. But as you see these lights, as you go through this Advent season, let it be a reminder, as the song Arise Shine by Graham Kendrick used to sing, Arise Shine, your light has come. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. Who knows that song? Anybody remember that song? Jesus, the light. Anyway, good boppy song. But it reminds us that this Advent, John is reminding us, as Graham Kendrick reminds us, the light has come. You know, when me and Alison first started going out, I started living in London the day we started going out, really, and she was in Liverpool. And our first day, Alison came down to London. So I thought, okay, trying to impress her. I've got ideas on my first date. Where do I take her on my first date down to London? So I took her to London Dungeon. Now, the reason I took her to London Dungeon, because I'm thinking, it's going to be dark. She might be a bit scared. She might feel a bit unsafe in the darkness. She should be. She might need to get a bit of a snuggle up to me. Absolutely true. So I took her to London Dungeon on our first date. See, darkness in the world can make us feel like that. Gospel John lets us, because, you know, it doesn't. Many of us know the world is a dark place at times. And we can feel scared. We can feel unsafe. We can feel dark. We can feel uncertain. But Gospel John here reminds us, verse 5, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, have you ever played that game, Paper, Scissors, Stone? And when you play Paper, Scissors, Stone, each one of them can win or lose, can't they? So paper can cover stone, and stone can do the scissors, and scissors can chop them. So every time you play that game, whatever you are, you might win or you might lose. I think that actually this is what people sometimes think about light and darkness. I think sometimes people think that actually sometimes darkness wins, sometimes light wins. It's a bit like the paper, scissors, stone game. But the reality is that actually light will always win over darkness. See, when light shines, darkness is overcome. If you go into, we said it before, if you go into a dark room, pitch black, and light a candle, the amount of darkness does not take away the light takes from the darkness. Light will always win over darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, has overcome darkness. Darkness can make us feel scared. It can make us feel unsafe. It can make us feel fearful. But when light comes, it brings hope. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings love. Jesus came to be the light of the world. Now, Gospel John, as he talks about it, he also reminds us what Baptist John says about it. Verses 6 to 9. Notice on there. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Gospel John is writing about what Baptist John was all about. And is that not still our role today? Isn't our role today to shine, to testify, to witness to reflect the light of Jesus in the world? At our prayer meeting on Tuesday night, Jenny prayed that we might be full of and share the meaning of these four candles that we'll light over the next few weeks. Hope, love, joy, peace, and of course light. And I love that prayer that Jenny prayed, and I prayed that. That's what I want. I want to be full of God's love. I want to be full of God's hope. I want to be full of God's peace. I want to be full of God's light. And I want to be so full of it because I want it for myself, because I need that peace. I need that light. I need that love. But I want to be so full of it that I let that light shine out of me into the world in which I live in today. That's our calling, is it? Like Baptist John, to be a witness, to testify, to reflect the light of Jesus in the world in which we live in. Okay, let's move on. Verses 10 to 13. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of human will, but born of God. Gospel John is moving us on. You know, as Christians, I think we'll often be concerned or even grumble that many people will celebrate Christmas but will not acknowledge or recognize the reason for the season. We know that, don't we? We know that as we go through Christmas, lots of people will celebrate it, buy stuff, do all the Christmas stuff, get the holidays, all that stuff. But we know that lots of them will not be recognizing what the reason of the season is, what's it all about. And this, of course, is not just a problem at Christmas. Because we know all people need to know that they need to make a choice to either accept or reject Jesus. Many of us here in this room do believe in the name of Jesus. We have accepted Jesus, and because of this, we have become children of God. We've been born again of God. We've been born of the Spirit. And I'd like us today to give thanks and to praise God this morning that we can know, that we can call ourselves, that we can sing those words sometimes. I am a child of God. It's great, isn't it? You can know that. That's who many of you are. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you believe in his name, today you can proclaim, you can say in confidence, not because of necessarily what we've done, but because we know what God has done for us, we can proclaim to be children of God. How cool is that? That's who you are. It's who you are. But in view of Gospel John's words, I was drawn to the fact that many didn't and still don't recognize Jesus. That's what he's saying. He came, but many didn't see it. Many didn't recognize him. And we know today that is still the case. Many will not recognize Jesus. But then I was drawn to Romans 10, verse 14 and 15, because I think there's lots of reasons why people don't recognize Jesus today, don't believe in his name, don't make that choice to accept him. There's lots of reasons why. But in Romans 10, verses 14 and 15, it challenges one of the reasons. It says this: how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We're a sent people. The people around us need to know that they need to believe in and make a choice to accept Jesus Christ. But how can they believe if they have never heard? That's what the Romans is talking to us. That's what Paul is talking to us. He's saying, look, there are lots of people out there we know who will, for example, go through Christmas, not accept Jesus, not understand Jesus, not recognize Jesus. But just one of the reasons is maybe nobody told them about Jesus. And how can they accept if they've never heard, if they've never had the opportunity, like many of us have, all of us have perhaps, that's why we're here, to have to know Jesus and to make that choice for ourselves. So perhaps Christmas time gives us an extra opportunity for people to hear about Jesus. That's our prayer, isn't it? That perhaps personally, as we walk through this Advent season and we see people and we interact with people that don't know Jesus, maybe part of our role is to go and tell them, hey, do you know this is all about Jesus? come along to our church and come and see what it's all about, maybe. Because as a church, we need to do that. And we'll be doing it through the services, and we'll be doing a few extra events out in the community, because we need people to know what is the reason, what is at the heart of this time, but not just for this time, but for life and for eternity. That there is a Jesus, and he loves them, and he wants to bring hope and joy and peace into their lives. But how can they know if they have never heard? We can grumble about it. Look at all these people celebrating Christmas. They don't even believe in God. We can grumble about it, or we can tell people about it. We can tell people the reason for the season. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let me go one step further. Gospel John, verses 14a, says this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This takes us back to verse 1. We said, in the beginning, who was the Word? The Word is Jesus. Gospel John says, the Word, Jesus, who has always been, always will be, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Baptist John puts it like this in verse 18. No one has seen God but the one and the only Son who himself God, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father has made him known. It's the mystery and wonder, isn't it, of Advent and of Christmas, that God is born among us. Jesus, God in a bod, God in a body. Emmanuel, God with us. Philippians 2 says, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he, meaning Jesus, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. It's the mystery and the beauty and the wonder of Advent and of Christmas that God stepped away from all the glory of heaven and humbled himself to be born among us. Many of you know that silly little story about the guy who's walking down the street or down by the river, and he notices a fish trapped in the fishing net. And he goes, oh, that fish is trapped, I'll go and rescue it. And he gets the fish and he can get it out the fishing wire, and the fish starts to swim off, and the guy thinks, I've done a good task. He starts to walk on and he hears a little voice behind him, thank you. He looks around. What could that be? Thank you. And then he notices the fish. He's bopped his head above the water and he's speaking. Thank you. The man is shocked. Turns to the fish. Oh, are you welcome? Didn't know you could talk. And the fish says, yes, I'm a magical fish. And because you've helped me today, I will give you 3 wishes. The man thinks, strange, but I'll go with it. There's a talking fish. So the man says, okay, what I'd really like, because I've always not had a lot. He says, what I'd really like is a really, really nice house, like a mansion. The fish says, I can do that. Boop. And the man suddenly gains this amazing mansion. And then the man thinks, oh, you know what, I think I went too small. So he says to the fish, no, I've changed it. Can I have a second wish? I would like a house that a king would live in. The fish says, I can do that. Boom! And he gets this beautiful mansion. And the man thinks, this is amazing. But then he thinks, you know what? I've gone too small again. So he says to the fish, I'd like to use my third... Oh, that's the fish voice, isn't it? Sorry. The man doesn't speak like that. The man says to the fish, I would like to use my third wish. And this time I would like Not a mansion that a rich person lives in. Not a palace like a king would live in. I would like a house that the King of Kings would dwell in. The fish says, I can do that. And boof, a stable appears with a manger. That's the beauty. That's the Word becoming flesh. And this is what we'll be celebrating over the next few weeks here at Chatham Community Church. That God came to earth to be among us, to live among us, to show us God, to be an example, then eventually to die upon the cross for the sins of all mankind, and to rise again victorious, so that in him today we can know God. We can know God's forgiveness. We can receive the gifts again of love and peace and joy and hope now and forever. Now I'm going to stop there because that's part one. All right? That's a beer all day. Because the rest of those verses I'm going to share about next week. But let's just think about the themes as we go into communion. Here's some of the things I've tried to share with you through those first few verses today. Jesus has always been. He didn't just appear, you know, at the first Christmas. He has always been. Christians believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do I understand it all? No, but I believe God is three in one. Jesus came as the light of the world. And light always wins, overcomes darkness. We are to be like Baptist John. We are to be, because a witness to and shine the light of Jesus in the world. Might we ask God to fill us this Advent with hope and joy and peace and love, because he loves to give to us, but also might we overflow hope and joy and peace and love to others in the world. Let us be thankful that we have believed in and accepted Jesus, for those of us who have, because we can now call ourselves children of God. But there will be many people this Christmas who don't recognize Jesus. Might we share Jesus with them? And together, this Advent and Christmas, let's celebrate together the Word becoming flesh and living and dwelling among us. Amen. Amen. As we prepare for communion, let's stand and sing, Jesus, Light of the World.